Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We belong, well, not really, because Tausch is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, but I'm back home, and I'm being held out of practice this week. Doctor's orders edition. Speaking of not practicing, Nate Hobbs had a surgery, and he may be ready for the opener. They hope he'll be ready for the opener. But hope is not a strategy edition. And the having broken down the film, say this. I want to see Mark Tauscher anchoring in pass protection against one Buckingham U Badger. I think we can make that happen edition. Because it seemed like a pretty good setup, pretty good competition when they were together yesterday at the ESPN Madison Open. At TPC Wisconsin, benefiting mentoring positives edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find in both the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde back in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And day two of his triumphant return from his summer sabbatical. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So what are you laid up? You got a bad foot? What's going on?
I got a little turf toe, which I have a
sure
greater...
Sure, that's not gout?
It's not gout.
It's
no.
Positive.
I did see a medical professional.
Okay.
Who was happy to inform... I told him, having considering he has cared for Mark Chimura once upon a time, I said, Chewy thinks it's gout. He says it's not gout. But, I had a bit of an episode a couple weeks ago, and I kept limping around on it and made it worse, and now I've... jacked up the tendon in my big toe, which, again, greater appreciation for the newly minted Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Because Xavier McKinney.
No, he's not eligible yet. Someday, though, much like Charles Woodson.
Oh, yeah.
Sterling Sharp, who went into the Pro Football Hall of Fame and had all those turf toe problems where he couldn't practice all week, and then he'd take a pain-killing injection, and then he'd ball out on Sunday. I can see why that was a debilitating thing to deal with for him. It's not pleasant. So, I have been, I'm allowed to cover the game on Saturday against the Jets, and I am, permitted to go to locker room as long as I don't stand there for too long, But otherwise, just wait, as you can see,
you're
I'm
telling
sitting.
Me you're not going to go and watch practice with turf toe?
I can't stand for 2 hours
yeah,
and walk to and
down.
From practice.
Go you're grab not a allowed, bench.
You're not allowed to sit at practice.
Come on.
Dude. It's true.
Get a boot and go watch practice. Like, you, this is, this can't be accurate. This can't be. You're telling me because you got a small case of turf toe, you can't go watch practice?
As much as I respect your toughness, I'm going to follow doctor's orders. So I appreciate your
Jesse,
concern.
Jesse, is this crazy? Is this crazy?
I'm not going to dive into anyone's medical situations and tell everyone who's crazy and who's not. You get squirrely doing that when it's Elgton Jenkins and other professional athletes. I'm not doing it for
but
Jason.
But Jason gave us his health update. Like, it's one thing if they're like, let me tell you something. Domofsky's not going to hear this report and say, ooh, I'm going to go step on Wildy's toe because I want to have better coverage in the Channel 3000 Wildy Touch crew.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Wow. Domofsky's a snake like that? Wow. Whoa. Okay. Well, anyways.
Oh, snap.
So, Jason, again, man, I don't want to belittle you, but.
But you are.
No, I'm not. But
yeah, you are.
You guys are missing games and players, and this is your job. This is your job. So you going out there, what if you stood for an hour and then left?
All I'm telling you is that the Packers team physician told me that I can't practice this week.
Oh my God.
I can't
God.
Practice.
You saw Doc McKenzie?
I did.
I don't think I can say this, but I'm going to anyways. I don't think Jason can even talk about injuries anymore with players.
No,
I'm being dead serious.
You can't do that.
No, I'm being dead serious. I have had plantar fasciitis where you're basically the bottom of your foot is ripped up and is just inflamed. You can't sleep. It's miserable. I've had my fair share of injuries. And I'm not trying to belittle Jason. But turf toe.
It's just happening.
Guys play NFL games with turf toe. And now we're sitting here and Jason's 53, whatever, however old he is. He can go to the game. But he cannot go and watch even a part of practice because Doc McKenzie, we all know Doc's conservative. This might be the most conservative. I think you go get a second opinion.
I'm not.
Because you don't want to.
No. So this was a minor thing for quite a while. And then I went to practice all last week, walked out. Again, Nate Hobbs's injury is way more important than mine. I do not. I will spend one more minute on this.
Unfortunately, you don't get to direct this. You can say this is what you're going
to
do, but when we're talking
Nate Hobbs,
this is all going to be related back to Jason's turf toe.
That might be the case when John Anderson's the cousin sub of the day, but not when old T's around here.
You think I'm going to let you talk about Nate Hobbs' busted up knee and not bring back the fact that you are soldiering through,
to be clear,
sipping lemonades and eating sandwiches while you're doing your job? Maybe you'll get that. I don't think you will, but maybe.
To be clear, I will not be questioning
the
veracity
unavailable.
Of Nate Hobbs' injury. I won't be questioning it. I will be reporting it and discussing it, but I will not be questioning
fairness,
the legitimacy of it.
In fairness, we questioned Elgton Jenkins. I think we put quotes around back injury.
I think we did. Elgton Jenkins.
Did we not put quotations? So if you're going to the old school, are you probable for Saturday? Like, is this for sure? Because you can't practice, you can't play. That's the old adage. How are you going to be, I can't practice, but now you're just going to, Charles? You're basically, is that why you brought up Sterling Sharp? Because you're trying to say you are the Sterling Sharp of beat writers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm gonna be ready on game day. It's all about being ready for game day. And you know what? I've been in the league long enough now that I've earned the trust to miss practice all week and then play on Sunday or Saturday.
I think you're a veteran who doesn't even need to go to the preseason game.
He's getting to be Cliffy. Like, is he getting to be Cliffy?
I'm on the Little Lamborghini program.
Oh my God. I never thought I'd see the day that a beat guy who has not like had a major surgery is missing practice to play in the games.
If I may.
Sure you can.
The most important thing that happened, Rodgers did play with COVID toe. He played with a broken pinky toe. He did not have COVID toe. He also did not practice a lot of times during that season, if you recall correctly. He just played on Sundays. So again, him and I, very similar. Warriors, him and I.
Oh, my God.
So here's the, if I may, one last thing
absolutely
on this. So
you
get
may
to Nate Hobbs, no, who's way
off,
more important than
don't,
me.
Just don't tell us one last thing on this, because that's not going to be true, but continue.
So we get done with the examination in the parking lot of the high school. He met me because Maddie had a run this morning. And we're done, and we're just talking about various things. And he looks down at my right Achilles, and he says, "What's with your Achilles?" Like, what do you mean? And if you look at it, not that I'm going to put my feet up on the camera the way Aaron Rodgers did during that Zoom call, but I've got a bulge in the back of my right heel area, like where my Achilles is. And he thinks that I've got a pretty serious case of tendonitis, and he wants to get a scan on that so I don't go Damian Lillard or Tyrese Halliburton at my advanced age and blow out my Achilles. So this little turf toe thing may actually wind up preventing a more serious injury. So thank you, Doc McKenzie, for always looking out for me.
So and, is it your and, left toe and your right Achilles?
No, it's my right toe, right Achilles.
So it all, like the old doctors, the knee bone's connected to the T-bone and the blah, 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 blah. Okay.
So Ian and East Troy, can't Jason use one of those scooters that you kneel on to stay off that foot? I do have one of those. I am, because I am such a committed, hardworking teammate, I am pushing to be allowed to go to practice on one of those. So Doc said not today for sure, but he doesn't want me at practice all week. I'm going to try and push because even so though
you're doubtful for tomorrow's practice, you're
I am
out
doubtful
today
for tomorrow. Okay. I am hopeful for Thursday, and then I would say I'm probable for Saturday against the Jets.
Because you can sit down on your keister.
Because you sit, yeah, right. Yeah. But look, again, in fairness, which I know you're not super interested in at the moment, you saw me yesterday at the ESPN Madison Open. I never sit when we do the show. I like my energy better when I'm standing. I was staying off of it because that is when it gets exacerbated, when I walk a long distance to and from practice, when I stand there for 2 hours. So I sat next to you. We had Bucky sit between us. And then I'm sitting now because I'm taking the pressure off my foot. So I appreciate your concern.
Yeah,
you and
can
Paula,
I ask one follow-up, though?
Concerned.
Because you are not the king of follow-ups, as we saw with the COVID,
thank
Rodgers.
You. Thank you. I feel attacked.
What do you mean you feel attacked? Well, get over it. You're not being attacked. Okay. You pulled your toe out, and did you, like, lay on a bleacher? And was Doc McKenzie, like, kneeling down on gravel to look at your turf toe?
No, much like you.
Yeah.
He's got a lovely Chevy Tahoe, so he opened the driver's side back seat door, and I sat there, and then he examined my foot in the parking lot that way, like sitting on the doctor's bench thing.
But it was a
bucket seat. Yeah, so I'm spun.
Wouldn't it have been
easier
to go
out
on the back and just put your keister up?
I'm not here to question Doc McKenzie's decision making. He put me where he put me. He's one of the preeminent doctors in the National Football League. I'm lucky to consider him a friend. He is conservative by nature, and I'm just really blessed to have someone who cares about me and is willing to take a look at me to make sure that I'm okay.
How does he like put this in his files? Does he type it in later?
I did not get into that discussion. But I know Flea is on the case now too for me, so it's great. It's great to have outstanding medical people.
Just wait,
that
so
are
now Flea is going to give you a course of treatment?
I don't think he's going to be overseeing
treatment. So we're all on the same page. We got Hobbs, where he's got a knee surgery that he's rehabbing.
Correct.
We got, who else is laid up?
Quay
right
Walker
now?
Working
Quay's
his way
down
back from ankle surgery. Yep.
Yo, Flea, hold up on all that. We know Hobbsy. We probably want him back for Detroit, but we got a 30-year beat guy that's got a turf toe. We got to get him back. That's where we're at right now. Is that what I'm hearing?
You saw Doc McKenzie.
It's not where
in the middle of training camp.
Like, training camp, literally, he's bouncing back and forth 100 different places, and he's got Wilde strapped up to the top of a Tahoe, digging around his toes, saying, hey, maybe hit a pedicure once in a blue moon. You got all kinds of fungi up here, and you got Achilles that you popped. You need to take a beat. That's pretty special.
Yeah, I'm extremely thankful. It worked out great because he had to be at Lambeau at 7:30, so that's why he met me at the high school right nearby.
Yeah, because he's the team doctor. No blank, he had to be at Lambeau.
My kid's got to run over at a Schwab, but I don't want to inconvenience him, but can you drive over here? Because I can't get around great.
It was his idea to be there.
I know you got to see Hobbs about that knee, but...
Hey, LaFleur comes down. Hey,
got any room?
Flea, I need to know the update. We got to get this practice schedule right. Just wait a sec. Well, I'll just let you know the one thing we know for sure, Wildy's out. He's done for the day. He's got turf toe. I don't know about any of the players, so we don't know if we can go two tights or if we can go three wides because we don't know that yet because Doc is sitting in a Schwabadon high digging around Wildy's toe.
We got to know if
that
we
is what
get the
we learned
it on Ballantyne to bring him in or not.
Just wait. Hey, did Ballantyne pass his physical? I don't know. he's got to head over to Schwabadon High School, and I think Wildy's going to let him go up top of his car because he's using Doc's Tahoe. Trade's canceled. We could get a doc to take a look at the medicals.
Hodkowitz has a little cough. We got to see him next.
Oh, my lordy. Oh, that's beautiful.
Nate Hobbs underwent knee surgery.
Did he? We don't know for sure. It got postponed till tomorrow.
There was a delay for some reason.
Yes. So, that is the medical update. On Wildy and Tosh.
How's Sheed's calf? I don't know.
It's a groin.
You can't look at it.
It's a groin. It's a groin.
It could be a calf by now.
So we need to get to more pressing injury issues, and that is Nate
Banksy's
Hobbs.
Back. How's Banksy's back? We don't know. I don't know. To answer your question, I don't know how many more we got. I don't know.
Wildy at that mini camp practice has now turned into Doc McKenzie in his office this morning.
What did you learn about making? Nothing. Hey, what did you learn about the medical? Nothing. We just know Wildy's turf toe. He's out. All right. Oh, that was funny.
Much like Dr. McKenzie.
Get well soon, by the way. Hope you're... be okay.
Appreciate everybody's concern. Much like Dr. McKenzie is best in class, so too is Gina Della and Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
No days off for Gina. For long-lasting comfort and reliability, it is easy to trust Pella. Each piece, specifically constructed for your home, always designed with innovation, rigorously tested for quality performance, and built to create long-term energy savings. There's no reason to wait, because if you order by August 31st, you get 0% interest for up to 60 months. Yes, that's up to 5 years of no interest payments, so don't miss out. Visit PellaWI.com today. And also, you got the old beautiful State Fair going on. Stop by Pella's booth in the Expo Center at that Wisconsin State Fair through August 10th, which I believe is on Sunday. And if you order by August 31st, you do get that 0% interest for 5 years.
I was going to go, but that's too much walking. I'm not allowed to walk that much at State Fair. We will
around.
Get to...
Scoot around State Fair.
Yeah, I do. I have it in the back of my car. I'm going to use it. Again, much like Chewy mentioned this when I joined Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning after my exam, you don't really want to be limping around the locker room with a bunch of tough guys who play hurt all the time. So
no, you'd be getting a badge of honor being like, what's wrong, Jay? Hey, Bird.
Bird,
what's up? I got a turf toe, but I'm grinding away.
I'm still here, man.
I guarantee
still telling
you,
the story.
I hope LaFleur gets wind of this because I can't imagine. Maybe he is going to be the most compassionate head football
coach. He'd be the first one today.
He goes in for his press conference, and you come wheeling
no,
in
no, no, no,
with
no.
your little scooter.
He comes in. If Wallers is on it today. He's going to come in and say, we just got a couple injury updates. You know, Hobbsy obviously with an ankle. He's got a knee. He's getting some surgery done. Hopefully he'll be back. And then Wildy's out for a week. He's got turf toe. Like, if somebody can get that to Wallers, that would be fantastic journalism.
We need to talk about Nate Hobbs, whose situation is much more pressing and much more problematic for the Green Bay Packers. We will talk about that, which is much more important than my turf toe, next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. With something in the air you can't deny.
Alright, we gotta get ready for Evan Cohen. So we don't have a lot of time to continue this exercise because one of the Packers' starting corners may not be available for the opener against the Detroit Lions. As first reported by Bill Huber of Sports Illustrated, Nate Hobbs underwent surgery on his knee. I was told, and I think others have been as well, that it was a small meniscus tear. So
bet your sourcing is pretty good on that one.
Needed to be trimmed. And the hope is that it's a 3-week recovery, and that gives them a little time to ramp up for the opener, which is 33 days from today on the 7th of September at Lambeau Field against the Detroit Lions. Goody said it the day that he released Jaire Alexander. I feel really good about our top three. Keyshawn Nixon, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine. Well, guess what? And then there were two. Potentially for an opening game against the defending NFC North champs. Tausch, how concerning is this?
Well, it's obviously concerning, and I think one of the things that you've seen and heard throughout the first, 10, 12, 14 days of training camp is that physicality, they've had to tone him back. Whenever you make a decision to not bring back Jaire, and I see Jaire is already hurt in Baltimore, that's obviously the reason Green Bay didn't bring him back is because he's unable to stay healthy. Well, Hobbs, how many games did he miss last year with the Cardinals?
Six with the Raiders.
With the Raiders. There is this, you start getting older, you don't get healthier. Jason's found that out. I find that out. I think most of us, as you get older, it is harder to stay healthy. So when you bank on that and you bring in a guy, you're hoping. You're hoping that he's able to stay healthy and can contribute. The fact that you're able to bring back Ballantyne, someone you know, is he going to be able to play at that level? You would think not. Hobbs is somebody that was brought in to bring a mentality and to be one of your three guys that are going to be out on the field a very high amount of snaps. That's the risk you take when you do that, and you don't really do a ton of supplementation. You don't have you're going to bank on Kalen King elevating himself into that next role, right? You're going to bank on one of these young guys elevating themselves and giving it. And that is okay. I think from a fan standpoint, it's always a lot. You feel a little bit, it's like a binky. You feel a little cozier when you have that name guy that you know has been out there. But those name guys get older and they're not as good. Eventually, you want to find that young player that can elevate. Hopefully, somebody else is going to be a Tremon Williams or a Sam Shields or someone that you don't think is quite ready, but they could elevate into it. And that, I think, was the big problem a lot of people had with Green Bay's offseason is that you're relying a lot on that. You went and got Hobbs to kind of supplement and then bring in. And when you see that injury, all of a sudden then you're tested, well, how good is your depth? And until you get there, there's a lot of players, and I just mentioned two of them, that were in the same boat. Where nobody knew anything about Tremont. And then Tremont is a huge piece to a Super Bowl championship run. Mm-hmm. Whereas in 07, 08, he was sitting there at the bottom of a depth chart wondering if he's going to even make a football team or even make the practice squad. So there's an elevate. There's a growth that nobody really wants to talk about, but that needs to happen. And I think Green Bay, because great corners aren't going to just be available. Guys that are going to be available are going to be older, injury prone. One of these young players will need to elevate, especially early in the season, because my guess with Doc McKenzie's analysis of your turf toe and of a knee, I'm guessing it's going to be very conservative. And if that's the case, you set it 33 days. Now, for a scope, if it's a minor scope, doable. But if it's a major tear, the last thing you want to do is throw somebody back out there, because then, as Jason also knows, that turf toe can become an Achilles, and then that can become a hammy, and then that can become a hip, because you start overcompensating. And when you're counting on someone to play 17 weeks and a postseason, the last thing you want to do is, well, we need you. We need you for Amon St. Brown. Well, yeah, that's great until that soft tissue, and that's what Doc is always trying to avoid.
And I do think that it's important to say this. I mean, we've seen them run a bunch of nickel in practice. I won't see any of that today because I won't be there. But a lot of times what they have run is Keyshawn Nixon and Nate Hobbs outside and Javon Bullard in the slot as the nickel guy. So if now, let's say they do take the conservative approach and hold Nate Hobbs out of practice for an extended period of time, because Doc McKenzie cares about his patients, unlike other people around here, and he's not ready for the opener, if they have to go into it with Nixon and Carrington Valentine on the outside and Bullard as the nickel, I think they're still going to feel good about that.
Yep.
Now, the problem is, and this is what Ted Thompson always said, when you would think, oh, we've got a bevy of players at a specific position, you're one or two sprained ankles away from being thin at the position. Mm-hmm. And so now, if you don't have Hobbs for the opener, which again, the hope is that he is, but hope is not a medical diagnosis, nor is it a strategy. But if he's not ready, then you're talking about you're one more injury away from having to play Kalen King, Micah Robinson, Corey Ballantyne, who you brought back now. Like that is the reality, is that they were in a position because of how they chose to go about the corner position during the offseason of adding Hobbs. Remember, they didn't just subtract Jair. They didn't bring back Eric Stokes. They didn't bring back Ballantyne until yesterday. They didn't bring back Robert Rochelle. So they knew that they were thin at corner. And now the guy that they signed in free agency to a four-year, $48 million deal, there is at least question. We can't say for certain he won't be ready for the opener. They hope he is, but there's at least question about his availability for the first game.
Okay,
of the year.
So who of the unnamed?
Isaiah Dunn.
That's going to be your guy.
Well, I don't know if he's my guy. He did not. We didn't hit it off in our interview. He was a little bit irascible, but yeah, I'm kind of used
what
to that
happened?
On the show.
What was he irascible?
It was nothing.
About.
He was just. He had a great interception in practice, and it was in the end zone during red zone. And I was the only one who went to talk to him about it. And he, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't get a lot of media, but like that's just one play. Well. It is, but as I have been taught in my many years here, those plays are what lead to more opportunities and catching the coach's eye. Yeah, well, it's just one play. Okay, well, Isaiah, good luck. Good luck. I think this is a good moment for you. But he did. He made a really nice play. Now, some would say that it would be worth seeing at practice today what their rotation at corner looks like.
Be nice.
I'm sure somebody will be there.
But we need to get to Evan Cohen, so we will do that after we talk about the Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis's Emmy-nominated documentary, hear about the true origins of the Bucks and Six culture, and more. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. I have a sneaking suspicion we may talk a little bit about the Bucks with our guest Evan Cohen, who is scheduled to appear, the star of Unsportsmanlike, next. It's Will Dantosh.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down. I'm throwing caution.
You know what that music means. The Killers, always the walk-up music for one of the stars of Unsportsmanlike across ESPN Radio and ESPN Television, and of course, also across ESPN Wisconsin. It is Evan Cohen on Will Dantosh. Evco, good morning. How are you?
Jason, how are you? I heard about the turf toe, which gets me a little bit upset because, you know, I've been thinking about something since last week. Hi, Tausch. Jason and I had a great call, a couple of calls last week on the phone off the air, and I don't want to name names, but I said to Jason, we're talking about something, and I'm like, have you seen that old friend of yours in a while that I'm aware of? And Jason said, no, but when I do see the old friend, he has an interesting move. And I said, what's the move? He said he invites me to his house, I have to bring coffee, and we go for a walk at 5:30 in the morning. And I'm like, that's a great move. That actually sounds awesome for a friend that you haven't seen in a while to pull that move. Now, if you're on the injured list here with this turf toe, you can't do the big walk with this guy then.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's he is a big guy, and we love him. We're working on a different setup. But
very, very, very frustrating.
There will be a walk at some point. Evan, what's the
on the injured list, man?
I am indeed. Me and the Miz. We both. He's got that tibia bruise, and I've got a turf toe. During your remarkable quarterbacking career, what was the worst injury you played through? Because you're obviously tougher than me as well.
Well, boy, this is gonna hurt. So I broke and dislocated my finger in multiple spots on my throwing hand, my fourth finger, ring finger, on my throwing hand, and they ruled me out. They would not let me play, and my team won one game in 2 years when I was the captain and varsity quarterback, and that was the game I didn't play in. I'm not kidding. And the team dinner was predetermined before the games. So, like, before the season, you would volunteer for different team dinners, and family would host the entire team at their house. And that game was at my house. Literally. It was painful. And they would not – I begged them. We were winning at the end. I'm like, just put me in for one play. And they wouldn't because they couldn't legally do it. What was interesting was there was another game where we played on Saturday a lot of the time where I grew up. And they must have been playing a 3-4 with the two inside backers blitzing on every play.
Cross dog? Cross dogs or just straight blitz?
Straight blitz most of the time. And they would just
mug up? Hey, did they mug up or did they come from depth?
No, right on the line. So it was almost like they were playing a 5-2.
So they mugged up. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I I'm going to talk on my terms. You're not a football guy, Tausch. I'm going to keep it simple.
We're a couple football guys talking football. Yep.
Yeah, you know what we do. So they're mugging up. They're blitzing over the center, and they pummeled me so much.
Hey, Evco, you got to bring your tackle down. You got to squeeze that, and you have to go out. You got to protect inside out. You don't let mugged-up linebackers have direct shots at a QB.
Well, we didn't do that, Tausch. This is, what year was this? This would have been in 1998, so I can't really change this at this point.
Oh, Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer, was a big advocate of the A-gap blitz. Big advocate.
A lot of mugging up.
Yes, he's a big mug guy. Continue.
I'd like to mug you right now. For not
what, because I'm trying to help
story.
You with details of your story?
Oh,
don't get mad at me.
Be careful.
Snap.
Don't get mad at me.
Be careful, Evan, because Tausch's mom is already mad at you.
That's true.
Tausch's mom is mad at me?
She thought you were very, very unnice last week, is what I was told. Very unnice.
What?
I'm just telling you,
what did I say last week?
I don't know. You were very complimentary of
Joe Thomas.
And you were
Joel
very
Thomas
mean to me.
Oh, yeah.
It did not go over well.
Is that true?
Is what true?
That actually now is going to upset me. Your mom's really mad?
She's not happy.
I'm not making this up. No.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm sorry, Mrs. Tauscher.
Are you really?
Jeez.
I don't feel like you are.
Say it like you mean it.
I didn't even mean it.
I will tell you, I'm upset if your mom's upset, I'm not upset if you're upset.
That's fair. So you didn't squeeze down, and then what, you get drilled, and that's how you busted your finger?
So here's the crazy thing back in the day. So literally the next practice I'm practicing, I start like throwing up during practice. They sent me to the hospital, EKG, they got my head checked, the whole deal, you know, basic concussion protocol, and I played that week. But they wouldn't let me play through the broken finger. Mm-hmm. On my throwing hand, where I could have played another position or done anything, but you know my head was falling off. And
what other position are you playing?
What do you mean? I played defensive end. I played safety.
Defensive end.
Yeah, it was sophomore year. It was quarterback / defensive end.
I don't see that very much. I'm not gonna lie to you. I think we found the key to why you guys never won a game. No offense.
Well, now I'm going to be thinking about this mom situation.
Yeah, she's not happy.
I didn't realize it was...
She ain't happy.
But does she know that, like, I actually really do like you?
I don't know. I didn't get it. We haven't broken down the tape yet.
I don't think anything I said you would disagree with. I said that Joe's a better version of you. Don't you agree with that?
What do you want me to say?
More successful.
Let me ask you a question.
More physically
better looking.
He's more physically fit. What idiot isn't going to argue that? But you want to start getting all the other stuff. I mean, he's definitely richer than I am. He's got better beef with his Hall of Fame beef.
Just as Jesse.
Really good
but
beef.
But is that an insult? Like, he's arguably one of the greatest offensive linemen to ever play the sport.
I agree.
Like, if somebody said, hey, Greeny or Dan Patrick, much better version of you. Of course they are. Like, to me. I'm saying, like, isn't that obvious?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is that
very fair.
I don't know.
To say about
but you
Joe?
Can just say, you don't have to say they're better Evan. You could just say it's Dan
they're
Patrick.
Goats.
He's
yeah.
a legend. That's where it gets mean.
It's fair.
Yeah. Jesse, I don't know that you want to get involved in this, because if we did better Jesse, the list would be too long.
Now, see, that's mean again. Now my mom's going to be mad at you.
We'll get everybody's mama. So, Evco, what would you do if you were Wildy in this case? So he goes, he gets the doc. First off, we have no Packer news has come across the doc, and we have all these injuries that we're waiting for these updates.
I had Hobbs at the same time as Huber.
We don't know if Hobbs is going to be and when he's going to be back. We don't know if guys are practicing because Jason pulls the team orthopedic doctor to a high school where his kid is running and lays down in the back of his Tahoe to get examined by Doc McKenzie. Now LaFleur's sitting there saying, hey, Flea, can you tell me an update before we go out to practice? Who's practicing? And Flea's like, nah, Doc's not here. We don't have any updates. How would you – is this how you, as a big star, would have handled it too if you get that kind of treatment?
This is unbelievable. To me, this is the beginning
Jesse, my button is broke.
Seinfeld. This is an amazing beginning to a Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Think about it this way, right? So think about Packers practice. Jason calls the team doctor, hey, I have turf toe. From what? Writing? Right, so he gets the turf toe. The doctor leaves practice. Then, God forbid, Jordan Love gets hurt. Needs immediate attention from a doctor. because Jason's turf toe, Jordan Love doesn't get the immediate attention, and he's out for the year. And then somehow Tausch had a bet on the Packers under that then hit because of Wilby's turf toe. And then you just put the current music underneath, and away you go. I mean, that is unbelievable.
Yes. Now, much like everything else in Hollywood, including many of these sports movies that are based on a true story, you would need all that creative license, because the truth is Doc McKenzie was still very much on time for work. All of the medical things that needed to be taken care of at 1265 Lombardi Avenue were unaffected by my examination. He did that because
he's... We don't know that.
No, we don't know. He called me from the stadium afterward to check on, like, a pharmacy
thing. But I'm surprised it's not a conflict of interest. In all seriousness, Jason, I am surprised that the team doctor for the Green Bay Packers is allowed to also be your doctor. Now, obviously...
Why? There's HIPAA laws, dude. No, there's... Yeah.
There's HIPAA laws. Yes. But I'm just saying, I'm surprised that's allowed.
Well, he is not allowed to give any information about players, and he doesn't, so that's...
What about, is he allowed to give information about hosts to players?
That's
a great question. Wilby's out.
How about Wilby's turf toe, huh?
I have given him full
authority. Like what he said about you on the show? Step on it.
He is 100%. I am fine with the HIPAA violations. He can tell anyone he wants about how soft I am. I'm perfectly fine with that. I'm willing to talk about it publicly myself and be ridiculed by my co-host. I'm good.
Okay.
Hey, so I saw some of the stuff you were talking with Cap from ESPN Chicago about the Bears. Do you really think, like, if he had to put his beautiful lake home or something, you really think he thinks the Packers are finishing fourth, or is this just a shtick in the division?
I was surprised. It's a good question, Tausch. Wonderfully raised by you asking such amazing questions.
Woof.
I was a little surprised by that myself this morning, but then it got me to another place in thinking about this. Here's breaking news. Someone has to finish in last place in the NFC North.
I would argue Green Bay be the last team to pick out of that. That'd be my argument.
That's beyond fair. But regardless of who you pick, it will be, I think it would come off somewhat startling. Play it out. No one's going to pick the Lions to be in last place. So if you do, you're saying that arguably one of the best teams over the last entire league is now going to be in last place. Okay? Then you're going to say, well, what about the Packers? So you're telling me Love and LaFleur are all of a sudden going to get so bad that they can't navigate their way to at least third place?
And they went 3-0 when Willis was the predominant quarterback in a game, and he's going to be there.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Then let's say
Jared Goff gets hurt. Jared Goff gets hurt. Katie barred the door. That thing's a wrap. It's over.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do like Hendon Hooker, though, to be fair. But, I mean, until we see something,
Give me three people that love him besides his parents.
Mrs. Hooker.
No, I just said I just took his parents off the table.
And Diane Tauscher.
Yeah, since you denigrate everybody to their parents, who else would there be for you?
Oh, my God almighty. I literally saw a tweet before we came on here that somebody was talking about Hendon Hooker as basically being the same with Jared Goff. Jason would have to tell me who that is. There was some reporter that literally just
so
put
some
that
reporter.
Out.
That's great. Good insight. Yeah. Okay.
No, but I mean he's not Goff. Oh, right. Okay.
Yep.
And then Minnesota, I was stunned by Ben Stolak put out a story on ESPN.com that he believes they have the best coaching staff in the entire league, which is wild.
Sounds like their offense can't get a first down in practice.
Right. So. But again, you would have to pick someone to be in last place.
Minnesota and Chicago are the easy picks there. Easy. Easily could happen.
I have a hard time envisioning either one of them in last place. That's the problem. Because I do think Chicago is going to be better. I do think Caleb's obviously going to be better now in this situation with Ben Johnson. And O'Connell's really good, and Brian Flores is really good. And I always assumed J.J. McCarthy was going to be good simply because of the fact that he played for Harbaugh and was drafted by O'Connell.
What happens when you assume?
Short-sighted.
What happens when you assume sometimes?
Thank you, Tausch.
Yep.
So I have a question for you guys. I came up with something.
Before you Wildy this, Do you believe Cap actually believes that? Like, would he put his lake house on?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, I do believe that he believes that. I don't believe that.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
Here's my question for you guys.
Okay.
Let's play out this game here.
Okay.
By the end of the season, what's the highest number on the QB rankings that you could realistically envision Jordan Love climbing to?
Fourth.
Sixth.
Fourth. Okay. What, you want to split the difference, say five?
Sure.
Right. Okay. What's the lowest number you can envision him dropping to?
Ooh. Where is he at right now in your world?
In my world?
Yeah.
Or in your world?
No, in your world. You're a national. You're a big star. Yeah, where's the national big star have him put at? You have him ahead of Dak Prescott right now?
I would not, no.
Okay. So where do you got him?
That's not a knock on Jordan, but
sure.
Don't you think he's kind of in the 10 to 16 range?
I have him at 11 to 13. Yeah, 11, 12, 13 is where I think we kind of came down and put him at.
And what's the lowest you can envision him? Worst case scenario, not injury, though. What's the lowest you can envision him dropping to?
I think the lowest I could see him dropping to is 14 or 15. I think his floor is that if he keeps turning the ball over and is inconsistent, I think he could be a middle-of-the-pack quarterback. 15 is where I think the lowest he could be.
And Jason, what about you?
Yeah, I'm right there with Tausch. I think he's 11, 12, 13, and he can drop a little further if he turns the ball over a lot.
All right. So now the gap between those two is 10.
Yep.
How many other quarterbacks would you say have a gap possibility of 10 or more?
Yeah. You mentioned this last week too when we had the better Tausch.
I think Stafford could go from 5 or 6 where he's at now to 30 if his shoulder and elbow stink and he can't play.
Yeah, but that's injury. That's injury.
No, but I mean, but he fights through it and he doesn't play well. Like, I could see Stafford falling off a cliff when it comes to that.
Yeah, but that's not, I don't know that that's necessarily a fair way of doing it, right? Well,
life ain't fair. Deal with it.
You're telling me.
Guy's got a guy with turf toe fighting through stuff, and we're sitting here talking all. Come on. Life ain't fair. Just ask Jason.
Oh, my God. Boy, this is fun today. Let me tell you.
you're telling me. But to your
point.
I would rather go back
to Wilby and I on the phone all of a sudden.
I'm very curious what you two are talking about, too.
We had two good conversations.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good job.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
But Evan's 100% right. And I'm not just saying that because we had such great conversations. it's true. And here's the thing. This is what we have. I mean, Evan, I know you don't listen to our show every single day because you got your own show to deal with, but we have been having this conversation all off season, which is, and it's not just the quarterback. That's also part of the uncertainty and why Cap can make his argument about them being in last place, and it's not insane to suggest. It's that they are so dependent on Love and a variety of other guys playing like they're capable of playing on a consistent basis when we've only seen flashes of them playing at that level. And when you have and you don't know what they're capable of on a consistent basis, there is a large variance of what they could be. That's the reality of the Packers as I go into this season.
I Packers fans care about the Packers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the NFC North, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The only quarterback that I would say is as hot, it could get as high as Jordan Love, and as low or lower than Jordan Love, just to put this in perspective for everybody listening, is probably Trevor Lawrence. Because Trevor Lawrence was supposed to be the greatest quarterback. I thought he was going to be phenomenal. I thought he was Cam Mitt.
Richardson.
So far.
Richardson.
Tua?
Richardson.
Richardson
no
could go
Richardson
from 30 to 10.
Top 5.
He could go 30 to 10.
Top 5.
Okay.
Right, but you guys had him 5.
Okay.
Right? So if I told you, okay, let's do it this way. Anthony Richardson had the greatest season of his life.
Yep.
Oh, well, that's not saying much, but he's not going to be 5, right?
Probably not. No,
Tua. I agree.
Probably
Tua
not.
Tua's not going to be 5.
Tua won't be 5. No.
Trevor Lawrence.
He ain't going to be 5.
Dream up a scenario. But you could dream up a scenario where a former number one overall pick gets there.
Okay. All right.
Herbert.
And you can dream up. Herbert's interesting. I don't think the floor is low enough.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, and I don't think the floor. I don't think Harbaugh allows that because they're very smart in terms of the ball control, where he's not going to make mistakes. And maybe okay, here's another one for you. Does Matt LaFleur, and you guys would probably obviously know better than I would, does he alter things almost the way that the Bills did a couple of years ago and saying, Jordan Love, we know you're amazing, but we're going to kind of make Josh Jacobs the focal point even more.
You mean like last year?
But even more. So limit all the interceptions, all the turnovers, like we're just not going to put you in that spot anymore.
No, I think it'll go the other way. I think they're going to give him more runway and let him do more and take more off of Josh Jacobs is what that's how I envision it. Jason, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think this is now, Jordan, you're healthy. We have this run game. We have tight ends we like. We've got this whole new deal. Jordan, you're going to do more, but you're going to do it on our kind of – we're going to dictate how we do that with play action, et cetera, et cetera.
I think they see a path to do that, but I think – look, Jordan's looked good in camp. And I think he's throwing the ball more accurately. That's a hard argument to make when the number one offense doesn't score a touchdown on family night, even in the red zone period. But I do believe he's looked healthy and effective and, as LaFleur said, decisive, which he wasn't always last year either. But I still think that they view this as Josh Jacobs is a stud and a dog and a bell cow. And I firmly believe... And, again, I don't know what the percentages are, but I firmly believe that they are looking to be way better in play action. And if that means Jordan Love throws the ball a little more often because some of the run plays that were just run plays last year turn into be play action passes, then, yes, he'll be asked to do more. But I don't get the feeling that they're going to ask him to do significantly more this season.
I love what you just said because – I have realized I hate the shotgun. I've just realized I hate shotgun offense. I think it, under center, back to the line, play action is so underutilized and it's so infuriating at times because I believe the shotgun at times makes it a lot easier for the defense.
Yeah, and Evan, that's what made this offense really good with Rodgers.
Well, other than Rodgers. Right, but Aaron Rodgers, you don't know where the ball is. You know how difficult that must be for the defenders? Oh, and by the way, he throws the ball the way he throws the ball. Mm-hmm. So the defender has no idea where the ball is. And then when they realize he's too good to allow them to even recover. Yet if you're in shotgun, you can see the ball the whole time. Am I wrong on this, Tavish? I hate
One of the things, and Jason asked LaFleur about this, and he kind of gave him a blech answer last year. It is important. It is a big piece to what he does. It makes the job for both the linebackers and the safeties, but really for the defensive line to have to play the run and not just get a scream up the field, let's go make a play. It makes everything more difficult, and it makes it easier. And when we're talking about these wide open, schemed up throws that LaFleur was so good at in the beginning, it was because of Aaron Rodgers and the running game and the play action. That was a big catalyst for that. And for whatever reason, I'm convinced it was Jordan's injuries last year, combined with the fact that Josh Jacobs loves duo blocking, loves some more of that stuff, and loves to be able to have that vision from the gun. He likes that part of it. When you add all that up, that's where I thought it'd be great to have another back that maybe likes the hard outside zone where you're talking the things you just were saying, where you do turn your back to the defense, you don't know where the ball is, and you hear those linebackers like you did and remember the Titans yell, oh, blank, because you know that tight end just crossed you. And when you have two tight ends that you love, all of that fits into what you're saying right there.
Absolutely right. Not to go too inside football, but from your perspective as an ex-offensive lineman who was obviously raised so well to be so kind and nice and a great father, son, and a husband and friend and teammate, is it easier or harder for you both ways, shotgun or under center? Like, how does that affect you guys?
For me, I always loved when you were under center, if it was, you know, you could sell the run a lot easier. It's really difficult because you can tell people, come off the ball when you're in shotgun. Defensive linemen and linebackers, they're going to guess that it's not going to be a run. So you're going to have some success running the football because maybe guys are more going to get out of their gap control because they're screaming up the field. They want to make sacks and have pressures. But, you know, to me, the easiest job in, as an offensive lineman are those keep passes where you just run hard to the left. You bring everybody with you. The quarterback boots out, and it gives, you know, it gives you all kinds of time, and it puts a lot of pressure on linebackers to cut watch over routes and other stuff. That is when you're really humming. Those plays work at a big level. That's when you know the defense doesn't really know what's happening.
Interesting. You know what else I learned tonight, by the way?
What's that?
Your mom, who's wonderful, actually is on more shows than you are.
Is that
right? Because she was listening when you were off.
That's true. Well, she's a big Joe Thomas fan, too. So, I mean, we all love Joe.
Joe, I've always said Joe's a poor man's house.
That's, I've never heard you say that, but fair enough.
Hey, poor man's greenie, we appreciate you.
Yes.
PMG. Oh, that's PMG.
I like that as a nickname. I am a poor man's greenie. Thank you.
Thanks, Evan.
See you guys.
That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, who you can hear every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin.
I think Jesse's going to be in pain coming up. My mic went out on my original. It's going to be revolving door Tausch. I am going to be back in the producer's booth for part of the show today.
No.
I have to.
No, you don't.
And with that comes great powers. I get to hit those buttons, right?
No, you don't.
Hotkeys. Yeah, great.
Hotkeys.
That sounds like a great
idea.
We're
going to fix it for you.
You said
you're
something.
You're going to fix that?
I'm going to try.
Troubleshooting.
Gulak. How come every day around 9:50 you seem to have technical difficulties since you got back from vacation?
Well, yesterday was a whole nother story. Today, I'm not putting this one on me. This one's on you.
Someone on YouTube noticed no lid on your coffee either.
Oh, yeah. That's a mistake.
You said something to Evan there that I want to circle back to since we still have one segment left in the 9 o'clock hour. We will do that next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
I remember the nights when we were young, dumb, and wild and free. When I closed my eyes, I could see you in my sweatshirt. Dancing around that college bar. These days I don't know where you are, but I get to keep these memories forever. Oh, I
thanks, as always, to Evan Cohen and to Diane Tauscher for giving us some content. I do want to get to one other football thing that was broached briefly with Evan, and that is the shotgun snap runs and the duo blocking that Josh Jacobs prefers, Tausch. I did ask Steno about that, and as is often the case with Steno, he said something that
says too much.
Yeah, he did. God bless him. I love the guy. He said we need to get Josh to do more of the things that we do, and so they are working on more outside zone stuff and that kind of thing, because I think they recognize that. While he was incredibly effective, and they love him as their lead back.
Thought it didn't matter. Didn't Matt say last year it didn't matter, right?
Well, apparently it matters. Hmm. So they have worked on that more during camp, and they want that to be more. You know, look, you tell me. You're the one who played in the league through many injuries, by the way. But you want guys to do what they're comfortable at, right? You want them to... You want to be able to tailor what you do to what they like, but at the same time, if there are certain crucial pieces to what you do offensively, you can't just do away with them just because it's not what a certain player likes best. So I think the thought process is here, hey, we're still going to run plenty of duo because that's what our guy likes, but we got away from the outside zone and the play action that comes off of that, and we need to do more of it.
Sure.
Does that sound fair?
Sure, but I would argue this. It is the coach's job to utilize their players' talents to the best of what is going to be what's going to work the best.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, obviously, Josh Jacobs was a dog, as you put it. He was a really good football player. But I do think that there is, like everything in life, there's a give and a take. And I think you took a lot of that production in the duo running game and some of those things, but you had to give up some of that opportunity that you have in play yep. action and some other things. So the right answer is, what's the blend? What blend are you looking for? And I would argue you're probably still going to be looking 70-30, hopefully 60-40, what Josh likes. But mm-hmm. you also have to remember, you know, Josh Jacobs, I'm not saying he's old, but he has a lot of wear and tear.
He does.
And you better make sure you're keeping, and this is where you find that next guy. That's where Marshawn Lloyd, hopefully, you know, he's going to be back and, you know, able to do some things. I know he got dinged up. You get that outside zone. That's the crux of what Matt LaFleur is all about, because that's the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. But that doesn't mean that's all you do. But my argument last year and why I didn't really buy into when you had pointed really good questions for LaFleur, it does matter. Mm-hmm. It matters when you're under center and you're hard play action fake. And a lot of times coaches will say, I don't even have to watch the tape. I just have to open my ears. You want to hear the pads thudding immediately.
Right.
Because the thing with, you know, play action, O-linemen are a skittish bunch. We don't want to run out there and then get beat and your quarterback gets killed. So there is a little hesitancy, especially in the outside when you're tasked to one-on-one run block and then secure the guy so that he doesn't have an open runway, because these DNs, they're screaming upfield to try and get, and you're putting yourself out there. It makes all of that, and that's why you have a tight end come over and help. There's a bunch of ways to help that, but you feel that. The linebackers feel that. That's where you get those big, wide Pella windows for those big shots, and when you're going to highlight the tight ends, like I believe Green Bay is going to do, you're going to have to do some under-center play-action pass. That's just a critical part to what they're going to be able to do.
We'll talk more about this and the Packers in general. Matt LaFleur revealing that he has a plan. Some might say the concepts of a plan for what he's going to do with the starters on Saturday against the Jets. I'm going to have Tausch translate what the head coach had to say as he did his press conference. Without me, because I'm here, as I battle through being the gamer that I am. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes after I tell you Grubel offices, David and his team, they're the best. And you know what? I'm lucky. I got a lot of really good people that when I need help, whether it's with turf toe or Paula getting rear-ended while we're in Madison, I can make a call or send a text. But here's the great thing about Grubel offices. Not just me, it's everybody. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Or go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more about the firm, about David's history, about all the great things they do in our communities, all their great partnerships. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. We'll kick off the 10 o'clock hour very late in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.